is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me, living for Jesus who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer the call, follow His leading and give Him my all, living for Jesus wherever I am, doing His duty in His holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, taking each trial as part of ones He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him.
Thank you, guys. That worked on my mind just a little bit. Did you guys catch what I'm saying? That was words to one song that both songs were very familiar with, but the song that we normally sing, that's moment by moment, but living for Jesus. And some of you said, I had no clue. I just went right along with it. When they started singing, I thought, no, that seems right and it seems wrong. But it was right because you can do what you want with it. But so moment by moment, living with Jesus. Okay, so great. Well, that was a blessing and encouragement. Probably a lot of things we can do with music if we want to do it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're still in this chapter that deals with immorality and not just There's a lot that it goes through with how our world is justifying it, and even it's made its way into Christian circles on how we're justifying immorality. And honestly, people come up with all kinds of different things. And how is the world justifying immorality today? And I'm not opening that up, but you think through, a lot of people are justifying it. It's not they're redefining everything, and they're not calling it immorality. It's legal. Everything is legal. Everything is fine as long as it's what you want to do. As long as it's what you want to think, and it's what if you want to believe that. But honestly, you know, I'm talking about the agenda that's going on today, folks. But let's not be deceived. It's not just whatever you want. I'm going to tell you something. There's another side to it. The world is forcing it down our throats. You know, you think isn't what they're saying? You're just, you know, you have freedom to be the way you want to be. But I want to tell you, it is not. They're not being free. Right now, they are trying to push it as an agenda as much through, and there's hardly any choice anymore. I mean, there is a choice. We can choose no, but it is. I'm talking about the area of morality issues. Just this week, I was got a clip that came through in one of the conservative news media platforms and on this video that was taken, and some of you might know what I'm talking about, concerning this teacher. We're talking about 4 and 5 year olds, and there was this video, and I watched it, and how they are, of course, you know how they're taking all the pronouns out of everything, but not only that, but they were, you know, there was this, I don't know, this doll or something like that, this was a neutral person, you know, there, and the kids, they've been so indoctrinated already, you know, all the kids are responding that this is a person, I don't even know what you call them. You know, whatever they've got a name for these people that aren't—they're not. what is the name for it? Anyway, that's not a big deal. The point is these 4- and 5-year-olds are answering questions like this is a normal thing. And that's exactly what they're doing. These teachers are getting together. I say it's not just teachers, it's a whole agenda. But they're getting them to where they are growing up, that it is very normal, that you're very free to figure out whatever you want to with your own body, you know, and whatever, and who knows. And I don't know, to me, when I watch the little four-year-olds answering these questions and they're teaching all this stuff, it's so sad to me. What I'm saying that is there's really not, this is not a freedom. They are forcing it and they are pushing it. And we need to be very careful. We need to understand what does God's word say about moral issues. We've got to understand. You say, but that doesn't hit us here. It is hitting us here. And there are people that are justifying a lot of things. And so the Corinthian church had a lot of questions, an inquisitive certain group of people, but they were a group of people that were falling off, and they were acting in a wrong way. In fact, if we look at chapter 6, even in back to verse, there were questions about things, and Paul is trying to straighten some things out. Obviously, there were some questions and some, if I could say, some people that were defending of why it should be okay to be immoral and act immoral. Notice, in verse 12, okay, here's one of many of the questions. You know, all things, it's kind of like a slogan that these people were putting out. And here's one of the slogans that the Corinthian church was saying: all things are lawful unto me. Now again, there's a couple ways you can look at it. Maybe they were using grace. Maybe they were saying, hey, you know, we're under grace now, it's okay. And of course, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And God said what? God forbid. Listen, we don't use grace to do whatever we want to do. Grace, praise the Lord. Are you thankful that everything is under grace? Absolutely. We ought to be so grateful that we're covered because of God's grace. But that doesn't give us permission to live the way we want to. And so these people were saying, all things are lawful unto me. Now, maybe they weren't talking about grace. Maybe they were just saying, listen, the Scriptures doesn't say anything. Scripture doesn't say anything about this. What's so wrong with this? And I've made this comment, that ought not be our questions. What's so wrong with it? What is right about it? What does God say? And that brings us into the next, to his answer. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Tell me how it's right. How is God going to get honor and glory from it? Is this the right thing to do? What kind of a society will we end up if all we're concerned about is the wrong thing? Not a very high-standing society. We ought to be looking at what is the best, what is the right, what does God want for us? We've already preached through that, but all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Here was another slogan that they said, all things are lawful unto me, and then, well, that was the same one, but then in this light, Paul responds, but I will not be brought under the power of any. A couple of weeks ago, we dealt with this issue of the things that that overpower us, and we become enslaved to. And unfortunately, a lot of people in the world, but a lot of Christians, are living under the power and influence of a lot of things that they want to do. They're a slave to it. I've got to do this. I want to do this, and I'm going to do this. And so we dealt with that. In the moral area, there's a lot of slavery that has taken place. You know, we say that we don't have slavery in America, and I would say that in America we are enslaved group of people, because we have things that we go to and we cannot look away. We cannot stop when we've got to go back and we've got to go back and we've got to go back and we've got to go back. And it's time that we break those things and become enslaved to the person of Jesus Christ and be put under him and be brought under that power and not the powers that we have. And I just want to say, folks, be careful. The things that you do and the habits that you form and what you're doing, we need to be so careful. And even the moral issues, they are so addicting. They are so enslaving. And so many people get into the power of this and they're addictive. And Paul says, listen, I will not be brought into the power of any, and neither should us. Here's another one: meats for the belly and belly for meats. In other words, we get to the next one, you say it's just a physical thing. You know, God made us physical creatures. He's given us certain desires, and it's the moral issues and desire and the satisfaction in the physical realm are no different than me desiring to go home and eat, you know, ice cream. And Paul makes a case here and says that is not in the same realm. You're talking on this realm, and God is on this realm. And so we see that that when it comes to moral things and what we do with our bodies, folks, this is not simply a natural thing that we do. This is, God has made it a moral thing that we do, and it's an up and down. And we went through all that. If you don't know what I'm talking about when I do this, that was last week's message that we went through. We've got to be so careful that we don't throw things into the wrong plane. This is a very moral thing. Our bodies, the differences between our bodies and the individual body parts. And of course, there's a difference there. I don't have time to go through the thorough message that we already have already gone through. All right, so we find ourselves in verse 18, and we're getting ready to close this chapter and move on to chapter 7, but it's very important. I've entitled this afternoon, The Dangers of Fornication. And we've already heard some, but there's going to be more. You've probably been to different places and you've seen signs that have been danger signs. You know, beware of, right? Beware of this, or look out for this. Caution, men at work, whatever, and it alarms you. Okay, you need to be aware of something. That's kind of what this little part of the passage is. This is a warning sign. It's a danger sign that everybody on the journey of life needs to stop and say, okay, there's a warning sign here. I need to be aware. I want to make sure. The foolish person is the person that says, and moves on. Can I warn you right now in the area of morality and things that are moral, immorality and morality, don't ever get to the point to where you think that I can handle it. Never get to the point do you think that you can handle it. I'm beyond that. I've already gone through this. I've had this happen in my life, so I'm not tempted at all with this and whatever. And I just say, take heed lest ye fall. Beware. Folks, what I'm doing is I'm putting a big warning sign. It doesn't matter who you are at all, how old you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter. Take heed. Beware. Be careful, okay? That's what this is tonight. And so here's the sign. I'll spell it out to you a little bit more. Let's go ahead and look at this danger sign. Let's read verses 18, 19, and 20. Here Paul says, after all that's been said and all the things that were being said here, he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God, would you help me as I share this passage with these people, Lord? And I pray that it'd be successful at warning all of us concerning these moral issues. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll mention to you that this is another very difficult passage to understand. What is he saying after he mentions flee fornication? We'll come back to that, but he says flee fornication. Then notice he said every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Now that's a head scratcher right there. What is he talking about? Every sin, think through it, go slow. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. There's a couple options that are presented. I presented to you this morning a couple options in that passage. I'm going to present to you another set of options in this passage. What does he mean, every sin that a man doeth is without the body? Now notice he goes on to a but, so he counters, and he said, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So that's interesting. Is it other sins? Is that the only sin that's against your own body? So there's another thought that maybe this is another one of the slogans, okay? All things are lawful, meats for the belly. Were there problems with these Corinthian slogans that they were saying? He said, well, this is okay, and then Paul counters it. Well, this is okay, and Paul counters it. Could this be another third slogan that is what they're saying? Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Some have suggested it's another slogan that's being said here. I'm not sure if that I go with that, but that is a possibility. Here's another suggestion of what this means. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Fornication, sin, if I could put it that way. Moral or immoral sin. Those things, as opposed to all or most other sins that do not greatly affect the body, these moral sins greatly affect the whole body from the inside out. So there's a thought there that a lot of other sin doesn't have such a destroying element to it, to the body itself. That's an idea. And honestly, I'm not exactly sure concerning what I think myself. Kind of like this morning. And again, like this morning, I don't know that we have to make any conclusions on it, but I would suggest to you that there's an element of truth in both those ideas. I definitely would think that could be, you know, we could look at it in a different way, but I would definitely say that immoral sin definitely defiles. And I want to look at that a little bit this morning. So let's look at just a few important things here from this passage this afternoon. The first thing I want to look at is that fornication is destructive. Whether or not this was a slogan by the Corinthians, or whether or not this is something special about immoral sin, we definitely know that fornication is destructive. Let's step back and let's define fornication again. What is fornication? Some people believe it's a specific type of a sin that would be maybe counter to some other sins that would, some would talk about sins, immoral sins among married people. And of course we'd call that adultery. And some would talk about how this is a sin maybe before marriage, and it would be fornication that way. And although that could work, I definitely believe it's much more than that. Because fornication, when we look at the word itself, is a very general word for all immoral activity. Fornication includes adultery and includes immoral conduct with unmarried individuals, but fornication includes any of that immorality. It could include in your mind. Fornication in our minds. That means thinking about things that are, I'm going to continue to use the word, illegal or illicit, things that are not allowed for me, okay? And did not God give certain boundaries to the parameters in this moral world that we live in? Did God put parameters? He did. He put parameters. There are certain things that work under God's law. This is okay. This is right. This is undefiled. This is given even as a gift. And so it's pure in its right way. Outside of that realm, then it becomes impure, it becomes illicit, it becomes illegal, it becomes wrong. It's dirty. Okay, so God has given parameters that are absolutely right. With that right set of parameters, gives us things that are outside of those parameters. And these things, you know, as we look at these immoral things, can be anything that's outside of what God has given is fornication in this moral manner. So that's in our minds. God has given me no right to be able to think about things that are not within what He's given to me. I have no right to get emotionally attached to someone that He has not given to me. I have no right to physically do things with somebody else that He's not given to me. And so we have to remember, fornication is a very general word. It's anything in the moral or immoral world that is against God's law, which includes all the immoral sins. Okay? I hope that makes sense. Fornication. So anything, whether it's in our mind or in our hearts, with our bodies, outside of God's legal plan, this is destructive. It is destructive. And I want to start off with that statement. Fornication is destructive. A, it defiles our body as a whole. I want to ask you this question. Do people's physical bodies, is there harm from being loose and outside of God's plan physically with people? What do you think? Yeah. Have we seen that in our world? Absolutely. We've got diseases. We've got all kinds of things. We've got all kinds of situations that are transmitted that way because of living outside of God's plan. It's deadly. I was doing some research this week on this very thing, and they do say that an immoral relationship is one of the most destructive things to even the physical body that there are. People are so concerned, you know, about all the drugs and controlled substances that are out there. But as much as those hurt the body, they're saying that people living in immoral lifestyles, their bodies are being destroyed as they go. You know, it's amazing. You see somebody that's living a promiscuous lifestyle and you can just see, you know, a person that's a certain age, you know, looks 20 years older than what they do. And there's a lot to think through with that. It ages a person to live an immoral lifestyle. Because why? Because it's destructive to the body. He says here in this verse, he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Folks, I want to tell you, the Word of God tells us that your own body is going to be destroyed. It's going to be hurt because of the choices that you make with those immoral things. It's going to defile the whole body. And when I say defile the whole body, I'm talking more than just the physical, if I could say that. What do you think? Is if we partake in things in this realm, is it going to hurt our mental, our mentality? Absolutely. We all know that our minds are very powerful. People that are involved in immoral things, it is going to destroy your mental ability inside. It's a proven fact that people get involved in these immoral things. It destroys their mind and ability to think. It begins to take over and control. It begins to be one of the things that are dominating and powering in our lives because you can hardly think about anything else. It starts to focus. It starts to penetrate. It starts to be there, and it's what you think about. It's what you act out. It's all kinds of things. It's all. And by the way, you know, you can. It begins to control you without even knowing it and understanding it. And it begins to be who you are. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's a big deal. What we think about, it's going to destroy the mental. And so many people that are involved immorally, illegally. When I say illegal, I'm not talking about the legalities in our country. I'm talking about according to God's law, okay? When we go against God's law and we involve ourselves in a fornication manner and lifestyle, it is going to destroy our bodies physically. It is going to destroy our mental bodies and the capabilities there. What about emotions? You get involved with those kind of things. Will it affect our emotions? How many people have been destroyed emotionally getting involved this way? I tell you what, there are people that are hurt really bad, whatever, because they got involved with these immoral lifestyles. And, you know, it makes a person feel worthless. It makes a person feel like trash. It makes a person feel like a tool. It defiles. And that's really what he's saying. I'm coming up with a number of ways to say one thing. Fornication defiles and destroys the body. The body as a whole, physically, mentally, emotionally. You probably know people that have been emotionally destroyed because of this fornication type of lifestyle. It could be with their own actions. It could be the actions of other people. Isn't it very true that when we make choices in this realm, in our own lives, that it hurts other people around us? Is that true? I know your bellies are full and you're getting tired, but not going to be too long. Just think through it. It's going to destroy. Folks, I want to tell you, according to the Word of God, he says right here in verse 18, it's going to destroy. It defiles. It's sin against your own body, and I would even go further to say it's sin against other people. Other people are going to be destroyed. So it defiles our body as a whole, our physical body, and it defiles God's sanctuary. Notice in verse 19, what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Realize when we decide to take our body as our own and do with it what we think, which, by the way, this is one of the justifications that people have concerning the thing. This is my body. I can do with it as I please. I can look what I want to. I can think what I want to, and I can do with it. It's mine. I can make my own decisions. What's the problem with that? Verse 19 addresses it. It's not your own, okay? And you're defiling God's sanctuary. How absurd to think. What we know about our bodies, that our body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? He lives inside. He abides. It's like taking God's house, if I can put it that way, on a very human level, and it's taking God's house and destroying it with corruption and saying, God, live here. Boy, that defiles that temple. That makes that temple filthy. It makes it dirty. We're given God a place to live in like that. My friends, I want to tell you, if you're involved in these things, it's not only hurting your body, it's hurting your mind, it's hurting your emotions, it's hurting God's dwelling place. It's His temple, not your own. But be very careful of that. Nonetheless, the next thing, not only is it destructive, but we see that it's flat-out robbery. What does verse 19 tell us? Whose body is this? Whose temple is this? It's not ours. It's His. He said, what? Know ye not? It's another way to say, don't you understand this? Don't you realize the truth? Talk about the truth from this morning. Here's more truth. Don't you understand the truth? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. He said, for ye have been bought with a price. Question, what was the price for you? The person of Jesus Christ, right? The body of Christ. What do you say? Was that a high price tag? Absolutely. Jesus Christ gave His own body for your body. He purchased you back and you're using it the way you want to. He said, what are you? This is highway robbery. That body is not yours. That's a difficult thing because when I think of my body, I think this is mine. Nobody else's. This body is not mine. I have no right to do with it what I want to. I have no right to use my eyes to look at things that I look at. I have no right. I'm using God's eyes. That's a different perspective, but I want you to think about that. You guys are using God's eyes to look on things that are corrupting you and Him. Or they're not corrupting Him, they're corrupting His temple. When we listen to things that we ought not listen to, and we listen to the agenda of the world, and you entertain yourself with all that garbage, you're listening to that, you're lending God's ears to please your own self and gratify your own self. How dare we use God's eyes? How dare we use God's ears? How dare we use God's hands to do what we want to? Because these are not our hands. They're God's. And God tells us that we need to stop getting involved in this robbery and stealing from God to use it for our own satisfaction. What about our minds? Who owns our minds? They're God's, right? It's a part of our body, the whole body that we talk about, the body which would include our physical and our emotional and our thoughts. You know, in our mind and our thinking, that ought to be God's. How dare we hijack, if I could put it that way, hijack God's temple, God's, what He owns, and use it for our own purpose and our own good. Folks, I want to tell you, many of us are guilty of taking God's possessions and using them the way we want to, and how dare we do that. But that's what's going on there. Fornication is very destructive to you. Fornication is robbery. And of course, He has bought it with a price. And the point that I want to make here is kind of funny because the other ones make sense. The last one, fornication, is sad. Fornication is a very sad situation. You think about it, that God has purchased us. And I want to think, if we could put God into a person and think through that. I don't know about you, but I get excited to give gifts. I really enjoy doing it. It's a fun thing to do. I love to give gifts. You get excited about things and you give a gift. You want that person to know that you love them and you care. You're not doing it out of duty. You love them and you want to show them, I love you and here's what I want to do for you, and you're so excited to give gifts. I love to give gifts. I love people to be excited that way. You want them to be pleased. You want them to be happy. You want them to be excited about these things. It's tragic when you do something for somebody and you give a gift and they're not very thankful for it. And in fact, they take it and use it for what they want to. Most of you realize how sad it is that God Himself, if we could put Him into human form, was so, if I could say, excited that He would present His very own beloved and begotten Son to give, to die on the cross, to live for us, the whole point to buy us back so that we could be with him, like we talked about this morning, we could be with him, and we are taking the very body that he purchased and using it to do what we want to do and not for him. I mean, why? You tell me, why did everybody look down at your fingers? Why did God give you those fingers? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And, you know, I look at my fingers here and God gave me, praise the Lord, that he gave me the fingers on my hands because he wanted me to do something that would bring him glory, right? And was God generous in giving me these fingers? All that has to happen is have these fingers taken away. Would we be at a detriment? Yeah, because now I don't have anything to grasp. I can't grasp and I can't hold. And that means that I can't do this and I can't do that. And why? All for the glory of God. And God was very generous and giving and loving to give me these fingers. What about your eyes? Was God generous and loving to give me a set of eyes? What do you think? All that has to happen is take away those eyes, and would my life be different? Yeah, ask a person that doesn't have their eyesight any longer, and their life is going to be different. And God gave me those eyes for a certain purpose, and that purpose was to what? Glorify him and what I can do with these eyes. And again, take these eyes and look on the fields, for they're wide into harvest, and look unto me, you know, as Jesus calls us to do, and all the things that God, he made and gave me these eyes to bring him glory, and we could go around the whole body, and he gave me feet to go certain places, all to his honor and glory. God was very generous at giving us these bodies, right? Bodies that are uniquely and wonderfully made, all for his purpose. And I would suggest to you that it's very sad that we take something that God so generously gave to hijack them from him, to rob from him, to steal from him, and to use it for my own glory, and it doesn't turn to glory. What it might, I might think that it will, but I do it for my own self. You understand why I made this last point. Fornication is sad. It's sad because it takes away the blessing that God has chosen to give to us as a blessing, as a gift, for his glory. John, I'm going to give you, I've got a special gift to you. I'm going to give you some fingers to do some amazing things. One of the things that we did with our children, and I don't know that we did with every one of them, but one of the things that we do with our children is, you know, they're little babies. You ever just taken a little baby and held a little tiny baby there in your hands, and you feel their little tiny, tiny little fingers and their little feet and their little, you know, this and that and everything. And I remember. Looking back at those little toes and those little feet and thinking, somewhat excited and somewhat scared, I wonder what these little fingers will someday touch. I wonder where these little toes and feet will go. And positively look at it, and it can be a wonderful thing. But it can be a devastating thing if we hijack them and use them for ourselves. Fornication can be very destructive. Fornication's wickedness and its perversity is so destructive. It's robbery, but folks, it's sad. God in his goodness has bought us with a price, and he's fashioned and formed us. And the overall warning sign is what? What does he say? What are the first two words in verse 18? Danger. Stay away. Flee fornication, he says. Flee fornication. Get out of here. don't hang here because you're going to get destroyed. I gave you those fingers, Sean. Don't go there because you're going to destroy those fingers. Don't go there with your eyes, your mind. Flee, get out of there because you need, I want to preserve you for something better. The application to us tonight is very direct. Flee fornication. That's really the message. Flee fornication. Get out of there. We have called it sometimes, at least with the men, we've called it zero tolerance. There's not a moment in time that we ought to spend with any one of those issues of fornication. With our minds, with our emotions, with our bodies. Get out of there. Run away like Joseph did when he was confronted with it. There's no amount of time that I should give to it. With the body, we've got to get out of there. If the body presents, in the physical life, presents a situation itself where I am tempted, my friend, I want to tell you, God says, flee, get out of there. Don't stick around. Why? Because this isn't yours. You're going to corrupt this body. You're going to corrupt God's temple. You're going to corrupt yourself. You're going to ruin it. It's going to make us sad for a situation. And by the way, those aren't yours. And so he gives us a warning sign. He says, get out. Don't stay close. Get out and go a far enough way so that you're not pulled right back into it. Leave. Flee fornication. Zero tolerance with our bodies, with our eyes. My friend, I want to tell you, whatever the temptations are for you, you know, as you look at things and you see certain things, you better get away. Get away from those things because they're dangerous to you. And by the way, it goes back to previous message. If you think that you can handle it, you can't handle it. You can't be brought under the power of these things. These things will overpower you. That's why we got to get it away. You mess around with it one time, you get another desire for a little bit more and a little bit more. Flee fornication. Get out of it. Listen, you don't want any part of it. Men, women alike, young or old, I'm telling you from based on the power and authority of the Word of God, don't entertain any sort of fornication. Get out of there. And I mean that, any sort of form of fornication. Anything. Emotional, physical, mental, visual. Get out. You've got to get away because it's a trap. It's going to get you and it's an addicting trap. And it's going to destroy you, as we're learning tonight. This afternoon, it's going to destroy you. Flee those temptations with your body. Flee those temptations with your eyes. Flee those temptations in your mind. We have no right to entertain thoughts in our mind that are outside of God's parameters. None. And the interesting thing about our thoughts is we can do it and nobody knows. You know, I mean, I can look at certain things and somebody can watch and somebody can catch me. It's like, I saw that person looking at that. And we can get caught with that. We can get caught with our bodies, but it's hard to get caught with our minds. And so that brings into the fact that it's that a lot of times that's the one that we end up using a lot because it's very safe, if I could say that way. But I'll tell you what, it's just as dangerous as any other form. It's very dangerous with our minds. We've got to make sure that our minds are in control. But I say this, we have to have an idea of fleeing fornication. And fornication can be right in your mind. You say, Pastor, I'm not doing anything with my body. Pastor, I'm not getting involved in a certain way. We already know in the scriptures that Matthew, you know, whatever chapter it is, talks about it's no more just the body. If you're thinking it, if it's in your heart, then you've already committed this. But the fact of the matter is it's going to destroy you. But we've got to have a zero tolerance with things in our mind. I just want to put this out there. In every area of your life, male and female, here tonight, young or old, I want to encourage you to adopt the rule of zero tolerance in your life in the area of moral issues. I will, like David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. See, what's happened, like with the Corinthians and us, is we have set parameters and boundaries that are kind of there in the middle. Things that we feel like we can tolerate. Well, I'm okay to go this far. Is that what these two words say in this verse? God says, flee fornication. Get out of there. Get out of there. Do you realize as a Christian you have no right to be in the presence of that sin? No right. You've got to get out. You have no right. Listen, folks, if there's immorality around you, then you need to find a way to get out of it. Find a way to flee. Find a way to pull yourself out so that you're not constantly bombarded. You say, Pastor, we are constantly bombarded no matter where we go. I understand you need to do what you can do. You know, when we go back to that psalm when David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You know, he's talking about I will set. He didn't say you can avoid everything in life, but he said, I'm certainly not going to put anything in front of me that is going to pervert me. And so, my friend, we need to have the same rule in life, and it's a big rule. It's a huge rule, but don't think that you're too extreme. Zero tolerance. We start thinking that we can handle it, and you're on a downfall. He said, flee it. So, if we're in places where there's fornication, then we need to get out. If there's things that we can look at with fornication, then we need to stop looking. If there's places where we go that we're thinking about it, we've got to get rid of it so that we're not thinking about it. But the rule is the same. Flee fornication. Get out of there. Folks, I want to encourage you tonight that we need to get rid of the opportunities in life to entertain these thoughts and emotions and physical temptations concerning fornication. He says, get rid of those things. And so I ask you as we close this afternoon, what areas in your life have you allowed that rule of zero to be bumped up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 10? What do you say, Pastor? 10 to 100, not that big of a deal. That's not the definition of flee fornication. Flee fornication is get out. 50 for some of you, 60, 70, 80. I wonder what things in your life are above zero. And those things we got to decide to turn away from. Why? Because they're destructive. My friend, it's not, it's the truth. It's going to destroy you. It will destroy your body. It will destroy and defile God's sanctuary. It's robbery. Nothing else. It's just flat out sad that we would allow ourselves to be used that way. The rule, flee fornication. Entertainment that we're involved in. Let's be honest, it's hard to find entertainment that doesn't have fornication in it. But God says, flee it, get rid of it. Music that's out there, he said, music doesn't have anything to do with that. That's not what the world would tell you. And I can tell you what, there's a lot of fornication right inside the music that's there. If it's not the words, it's the music style. Might be the first time you ever heard that. But it's the truth. You listen to some of these artists these days, and they're basically singing one thing. And we need to be very, very, very careful. Flee, get out of there so that we're not tempted. And the thing is most of us know areas that are tempting with us. And God says, flee, get out. Whatever you need to do, get out and go somewhere else. Lord, our prayer this afternoon is that we learn to flee, get out, because it's too damaging. Lord, I pray that we would not be guilty of destroying our own bodies. I pray that we'd not be guilty of defiling your temple. God, I pray that we would not be guilty of robbery with your body. Lord, I pray that we would not make you sad concerning your possession. God, would you help us to flee fornication no matter how it's hitting us? Lord, it's everywhere. God, help us to be disciplined in our minds and our bodies and our emotions. Lord, help us be disciplined with our body parts. Lord, help us be disciplined so that we say no to these things and flee and run away. God, help. And thank you for your word that will help to us. Lord, I pray that if there's any that need to make some decisions this afternoon, that they would. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, and eyes